It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running. That's a little more drum loop than either you or I wanted, but what the heck. A little late to air, too. I apologize for that as well, but at least the internet's not out, and we're going to have almost 3 hours, probably more than 3 hours, of scintillating conversation radio. Hi, I'm Robin. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go, for instance. If you should happen to prefer to be part of the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany Real-Time Madcap Multimedia extravaganza that takes place in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round, and whatever time it is that you're listening to the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, pretty please like and subscribe wherever you're listening, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podcast Republic, basically all the platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, like and subscribe to this one, please, leave a comment, and if you're listening, either live or podcast, over at TuneIn, hit that little red button, and we will eventually get to 1,000 individual listeners, which would be freaking awesome. Anyway, if you pop by the chat room this evening, this prayer meeting Wednesday, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Theo and Squeaky and Ralphs and Anatole, and capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Right. So, it's true. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And, well, gracious sakes, we will probably have something disgusting, religion-related, to talk about during the program. Well, it was a... I think this qualifies as officially the most beautiful day thus far of 2023. I keep track of those starting about this time of year. And this is definitely one of them. Oh, this is magic. Just been a beautiful day. And so the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men and the little old blue-haired non-binaries down in the Fellowship Hall kitchen, I don't know if it's because Easter was last week or what, but they hotted up the griddle and started making grilled sandwiches. Oh, they were good. Reubens, to be precise. Tender, thin sliced corned beef, sauerkraut. You know the drill. Thousand Island dressing. Baby Swiss. Not real strong. And they were just heavenly. and pickle spear, some potato chips, which I eschewed. The bread was wonderful. You know, the thin sliced deli rye. It was a dill rye, so it added a little bit of kick. Ah, it was tasty. There was some homemade potato salad, and for dessert, there was just good old garden variety, old fashioned yellow buttery cake with dark chocolate buttercream frosting, and the deacons landed on it like the plague of locusts on Pharaoh's crops of old. I tell you what, it was a thing. And so consequently, the deacons were much satiated. And once they were done with their repast, they trundled their massive bulk up the stairs, a couple of flights of them. And having just eaten, they jumped out into the parking lot. Well, they didn't jump so much as they galumphed. And took to smoking with the sinners.
Hey, buddy, you got a light?
But at a quick crackle of the Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod, they began slowly but inexorably to move. Move! And they came thundering past me there at the door, through the vestibule, took a couple of shots of hand sanitizer, passed that bowl of desiccating butter mints, and rumbled and stumbled and bumbled down here to the front of the sanctuary, where they are now lined up and waiting, holding those big brass-bound burgundy velvet-lined plates. And they're about to move amongst the congregation for the offering. But, you know, every program here at the Horn, even prayer meeting Wednesdays, begins with gratitude. And this prayer meeting Wednesday is no different. And so consequently, well, I'm going to call the Minister of Music up to lead us in our offertory hymn. Sibling Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. never said religion should be free.
Oh, mercy, dotes and dozy dotes and little amsy divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I love you. Welcome, welcome, brethren and sistren and nibblings, to the Cathedral of Common Sense. I'm calling on you now with the plate having passed and thanks having been given out just this instant to our 12th day of the month subscribers, meaning we say thank you. Thank you so very kindly to Paul and to Gary in New York. Thank you to Cecilia. Thank you so much. Well, that means that we are down to, deacons pass about, we are down to $1,130 for our fundraising goal. And as the deacons pass among you, please bear that in mind. I'm calling you to get on your feet. Up off of your seat, wiggle and waggle and woggle and scrunch and squinch and get on out from betwixt the pews and come on down that blood red aisle and fall upon your knees at the altar and feel the healing rays of common sense a flowing through you from the server on high. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. For I am Arch-Pope, Uber-Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Absolutely Awful Abbess, Naughty Nun, Robin Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Amen. Ha! Glory. Amen. I guess we kind of got Prayer Meeting Wednesday started a little bit early yesterday, what with our story of the dirty llama telling a little boy to suck his tongue. Just goes to show that when we do Prayer Meeting Wednesday, it ain't always about the Christians, just mostly about the Christians. But any religion can be really, really, really gross. Yeah. Oh, and hey, there's Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, having entered the chat room to do his midweek moderating alongside Roger. Steve! Soup. Lots and lots of soup. But that got us, like I said, that got us started early. And I thought it might be noteworthy, even though the election, that pivotal Wisconsin Supreme Court election, is passed now, and Janet Protasiewicz actually won. Well, it turns out that the St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, in violation of the proscription, the IRS proscription of politicking from the pulpit, the St. Patrick's Church of Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, decided that they wanted to make sure that their parishioners' their parishioners knew what names to vote for. And so Reverend Brian Dully, without naming the name of the candidate per se, managed to describe the candidates in such a way that the parishioners would know which way to vote. Mercifully, Janet Protasiewicz, well, she won the election despite the worst efforts of Reverend Brian Dully. From the pastor's desk, this coming Holy Week at Easter will be my last here in Cottage Grove. I'm looking forward to worshiping with the community. Please consider joining us for all or some of our Holy Week services. Holy Thursday commemorates the Last Supper of Jesus with his disciples. For many people, this Mass is the most beautiful. It brings you into the drama of Jesus' passion and the love of Jesus for the disciples, yeah, except for Judas. Good Friday is the day when all of the church enters into the death of Jesus. Still trying to figure out how that works out. Jesus was dead for 3 days, but somehow or another, Friday to Saturday, Saturday to Sunday. It's only 2 days. What was it, resurrection savings time? An important decision once he got done, Reverend Pastor Father Dully. I wonder if that's how they described his sermons. He added an extra paragraph to From the Pastor's Desk. Dear friends, on Tuesday, April 4th, there is an important election for Wisconsin Supreme Court. On one side of this race, one candidate has tried to make this race an effort to legalize abortion in the state of Wisconsin. Abortion is the intentional taking of a human life. It is murder. Our Catholic faith is clear that this is a grave sin. Our Catholic faith is not so clear that raping little children is a grave sin, but then again, they're not fetuses. I added that part. It should never be controversial among Catholics to say that you can never intentionally take any action that will knowingly help in the taking of a human life. You cannot publicly support abortion or abortion advocates and remain a Catholic in good standing. The fact that this is a Supreme Court race does not exempt us from our duty to protect life unless the life is that of a pregnant woman who will die if she has to carry the baby to term, or unless that life is a little girl who's been raped by Uncle Daddy. Oh, wait. I added those parts, too. This moment requires our duty. He said duty. It's a mortal sin to render aid to the cause of abortion. You know, I think we can probably wait till the great getting up morning to find that out. But, well, then again, that aid includes voting. As a Catholic, I urge you for the salvation of your soul. Do not vote for her. Remember, it was a him versus her. Suddenly, oh, look, pronouns matter. In the Supreme Court race on April 4th, I encourage you to study the race carefully and form your conscience correctly in accordance with the truths of Catholic faith. Yeah, that's one of those... Of course, I guess it's not a mortal sin to violate the laws of the United States of America like Pastor Dully did. He literally told them if they didn't vote for Dan Kelly, they couldn't be Catholics no more. But at least Pastor Dully, at the very least, we can say that he is in line with our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties of the court in trying to force everyone in America to follow Roman Catholic dogma and doctrine, as we now must in far too many states. One hopes, that someone, based on this publication, will file an IRS complaint
against Pastor Dully. On hoax. Actually, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has called on the IRS to investigate St. Patrick's Catholic Church so that it can, and have its 501c3 status stripped and take away their tax exemption. In fact, Representative Mark Pocan tweeted, he quote tweeted some ordinary everyday Wisconsinian a woman named Vicky who said, "Every Catholic pastor in Wisconsin should have done what my pastor did and put a message in the bulletin about our Supreme Court race. Thank you, Father Brian. Hashtag vote like there's a heaven." And Mark Pocan quoted that and said, "Ridiculous. Any church that decides to be this overtly political is making a case against their tax-exempt status. Political organizations are not tax-exempt. This organization has to decide what it is, religious or political." I don't think there's much deciding left. Seems pretty abundantly clear to me that that's a political organization. Meanwhile, well, some things in the church never change. There is a broadcast outlet, I'm sure it's tax exempt too, called the Word Network. Word. Word to your Mother of God. Word Network. I have decided to start running sermons. Old sermons, reruns. Of a creepy, perverted gospel sharp by the name of Tony Alamo. And Tony Alamo wasn't just suspected of having sexually abused children. He got busted for it in 2009. At the time, he was 74 years old. He was also found liable in a civil suit for the sexual abuse and had a $30 million judgment rendered against him for beating, starving, and denying education to two men who were raised in his disgusting church. And as Hemant Mehta notes, the Word Network claims to be the largest African-American religious network in the world and says that they reach 93 million homes via cable and satellite operations. And they are rerunning Tony Alamo sermons. Tony Alamo died in 2017 because at that point in time he'd done 7 years out of the 175 years in which he was sentenced to prison. And it's funny, he was kind of a prophet. Because back then, he was a proponent of child marriages and child brides. God impregnated Mary when she was about 11 years old, so the government idiots would cuff him and send him to prison for statutory rape. Consent is puberty. Whew, God, how nauseating. To hear that again. Consent is puberty.
And I mention that because, like I said, Tony Alamo was a bit of a prophet, I guess. We need to, for this, we will go to, Misery, as Flavio referred to it. There's a senator, a state senator down in Jeff City. It'll always be down in Jeff City to me because Fulton, Missouri was about 25 minutes north of Jeff City. The senator's name is Mike Moon. And they were having, yesterday, of course, another debate on whether trans kids deserve to live. Talking about access to life-saving, gender-affirming care. Whether it be social transition or counseling or puberty blockers. Or once they get older than 16, you know, hormones. Well, Mike Moon is from Ash Grove, Missouri. Don't know where Ash Grove is. But Mike Moon, in this discussion, this debate about whether trans kids should be allowed to live or should it alternatively be encouraged to unalive themselves. Well, he unburdened himself of something that he is still pissed off about. Because back in 2018, 5 years ago now, they actually passed a law in Missouri that required teenagers to be at least 16 years old. 16 whole years old to get hitched. And in the case of child brides, usually some creepy old dude. Of course, it's legal in Missouri for the creepy old dude to take his child bride to the doctor and say, "I want her to have double D titties. And fix her down there while you're at it." Yeah, that's legal. I know. Gross, isn't it? This is what happened yesterday in Jefferson City.
"I've heard you talk about parents' rights to raise their kids how they want. In fact, I just double-checked. You voted no on making it illegal for kids to be married to adults at the age of 12 if their parents consented to it. You said actually that should be the law because it's the parents' right and the kids' right to decide what's best for them to be raped by an adult." Okay?
"Do you know any kids who have been with married marriage at age 12?
That was the law. You voted not to change it.
Do you know any kids who have been married at age 12?
I don't need to.
I do. And guess what? They're still married.
Gentlemen.
And they're still married. I don't think that's quite the positive note that Mike Moon thinks it is. And, well, of course, there's also the matter of the fact that it's awfully hard for a child bride to find her way into a divorce court when her creepy old husband controls every aspect of her life. Are we live tonight? Flavio said yes, we're live tonight. I got in a quarter past the hour. I assume we're live since we're talking over prayer meeting Wednesday material. Yes. Oh, yes. And I asked the question that I find myself asking more and more lately in regard to various districts in various states, particularly maggot states in this country. What the f- is wrong with the people in Ash Grove, Missouri? How do you return a man to office who wants to marry off 12-year-old little girls to creepy older men? That's nauseating. But here we are. I don't know, maybe he was channeling the dead spirit of Tony Alamo, Mike Moon. Mike Moon claims he met a couple in college who got married to each other at age 12, and they're still married. They were something to ponder. And, of course, this Moon Creep is the sponsor on a ban for gender-affirming care for trans kids who aren't trying to get married or anything, just trying to survive. The Springfield News Leader, hi Kenda, reached out to Senator Moon . He didn't offer up any comments. On the other hand, he did sort of try to defend himself, and not particularly well, on Twitter. Someone took him to task over his approval of 12-year-old little girls getting married. Because someone criticizing him said, what the fuck is happening to this country? And Mike Moon took the bait and said, something that is often missing is the backstory. With regard to my answer, I did not discuss the details. A 12-year-old impregnated a minor of similar age. With consent of the parents, they married and are still married today. Another individual replied and said, so this girl was raped and impregnated at 12. She was then forced into marriage and childbirth while still in middle school just so the church could bless her being raped forever by her husband. Now you tell us she's still trapped today and that's supposed to make it better?
You clearly did not understand. Her parents consented. No force. Their marriage is thriving.
This is a non-hypothetical question. If you had like little kids, would you let them anywhere near Mike Moon? So her parents consented to the no force. So they didn't force her to get married. I'm hoping he's not saying that the parents consented to her being raped. So a 12-year-old boy rapes a 12-year-old girl. And instead of being sent into the juvenile justice system, the 12-year-old rapist was instead married to the... What the hell's going on in Missouri? Is this like... I don't know. Is this... 11th century Europe? And I presume she carried the baby to term and had a baby at 12, which is not good for a 12.
What did Tony Alamo say? Puberty is consent? In that case, the cis kids might want to get on, the parents might want to get their cis kids on puberty blockers. But, you know, that's just a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian for you. Wow. 39 minutes into the show, and I already feel like I need to shower with bleach. And thank you so much, Ralphs. Ralphs says, I'm offering a $25-plus challenge for Orinda and her four kittens. She has had four kittens today. She's type B, and three of her kittens are also type B. The fourth one is type A, so she has to be isolated from her mama for 24 hours. She still might have her fifth or sixth kitten. So my challenge depends on how many kittens she has. So that's... If anybody would like to jump in and match that $25 offer, it may turn out to be more than $25, and we'll get down from $11.50 toward $1,100. Scott in San Diego says, "Are we live tonight?" Oh no, I'm not falling for that old trick. You noted that we're live just now, but you could have pre-recorded that, and we're just hearing it being played back. I'm not nearly that crafty, Scott. Emilio says, what? Their marriage is writhing. Not surprisingly. Thriving. Thriving, Emilio. Never mind. Flavio suggests, you're just not hip enough. With so many microplastics and endocrine and pituitary disruptors in the water, they'll soon be marriageable at 10. Get with the Republican program. Sarcasm on tilt. Yeah. And well, don't forget all the soy phytoestrogens. I wonder, says Steve in New York, since that rape enabler knew that some creepy man was raping his 12-year-old wife, if he's criminally liable for knowing and not saying anything. Accessory before the fact much? Coming soon to a holler near you, le droit du Seigneur, the right of the Lord. As Twain said, let it pass in French so as not to sully the English language. Le droit du Seigneur. Oof. No, it's Oak Grove, Missouri, Randy Radar. Has Oak Grove, not Dog Patch, Missouri. Dog Patch is in Arkansas, anyway. And moving to a separate topic, our pal Kim in New York. Hey, Kim. Is a bit disgusted. Okay, who am I kidding? Not a bit. A lot disgusted. For good reason. God, will anybody do anything about this son of a bitch? And a tweet from Adam Klasfeld. Ex-President Trump sued Michael Cohen for $500 million, threatening his ex-fixer and star witness against him in a pending criminal case with economic annihilation. And includes the complaint. Yeah, that suit was filed by another pettifogger, this one named Alejandro Brito. Adam Klasfeld asked Joe Tacopina if he knew about it.
Heard about it, Tacopina said. Don't care.
Yeah, this is a, This is a definite attempt to intimidate Michael Cohen into, what, unsaying his prior testimony? Because that's a thing worth remembering. In the Michael Cohen case, and we talked about it at the time, there was a judicial finding as to the illegality of the payments that Michael Cohen made on Donald Trump's behalf to both Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels. It's already been established in law in a court of competent jurisdiction. And I've seen several clips of Joe Tacopina lately, and I don't know what the New York lawyering scene is like, you know, who the hotshot lawyers are. I don't even know who the hotshot lawyers are in West Virginia anymore. But Steve, in New York, is Joe Tacopina some sort of, I don't know, some sort of Clarence Darrow from one of the five boroughs? Because I keep seeing clips of him being interviewed. I mean, I even saw him get outmaneuvered by Chuck Todd, for God's sakes, on exactly that topic, the federal court findings of about the illegality of the payments by Nitwit Nero to Stormy Daniels. And I remarked earlier, beginning to think Nitwit Nero would be better off with Cousin Vinny and certainly lawyer J. Noble Daggett of Near Dardanelles in Yell County, Arkansas. She draws that lawyer Daggett like a gun. Hey, Clarence. WTF. Robin, please excuse my fucked up response to that 12-year-old child union story. Sometimes you have to be profane to be profound. How the fuck can any adult in their right fucking mind believe that horse shit is all right? This planet is in serious trouble. And see, without running too far afield, Clarence, well, all of these, this being prayer meeting Wednesday and everything, all of these good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians who spent the better part of this century so far grunting and bleeding and braying about biblical marriage seldom take into account that, you know, little girls were sold off as property and marriage in that ancient Levantine culture was a property transfer between daddy and new daddy. And it often involved little girls younger than 12. And that's the traditional marriage that Family Values Republicans espouse. Oh, dear God, I had no idea. Joe Tacopina, Flavio tells me, did you know the son of a bitch owns Italian soccer teams? I think AS Roma is one, but the fucker doesn't speak a word of Italian. His interviews have to be dubbed on TV. Flavio, I don't know if you're watching or have watched Ted Lasso. When you mentioned that, and I don't want to ruin anything, but you'll get a kick out of this. You know, Ted Lasso focuses on a sort of hapless soccer club, AFC Richmond in the UK. And there was an important match in which the team completely lost its shit and started behaving like thugs on the pitch. And one of the fans watching back in the pub, it was red card after red card after yellow card. And he looked at one of his mates and said, "My God, they're playing like Italians." And his buddy said, "I know, it's great." We've rewatched that episode a couple of times, and I snicker merrily. They're playing like Italians. I had no idea. Thanks for that little bit of trivia, Flavio. So he's a wealthy lawyer, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's a really, really good one. I wonder if he's even a trial lawyer. Steve in New York says, "The lawyer touched my penis guy. Never heard of him before this." Tacopina touched my penis. It took me a second. Sometimes by midweek and day before shot day, I'm a little slow. Lawyer touched my penis guy. Oh, come on. First cowbell of the evening goes to Steve in New York. Oh, and by the way, Steve points out a link to a synopsis of the Missouri law on sex abuse reporting. According to this site, among the people required to report are teachers. You guessed it. Old Mike Moon is a Sunday school teacher. He didn't report the rape, which is a Class A misdemeanor.
Well, but he met the happy couple back when they were in college. And, of course, it's been a long time since he was in college. And their marriage is writhing to this day.
I think Emilio got it right. Flavio says, "Child bride, sounds about right. Sarah Huckabee's bringing back child labor. It's all a pace, no? Yeah." Well, you know, they can go to work and be child laborers, and then they can come home and be child spouses. Swear to God, this country is in more trouble than we even begin to know. Matt, hey, I hope you're feeling better, Matt. Matt says, "Trump lawsuits. Trump continues to highlight that not every law school graduate did so at the top of their class." So true. And some of them go on to be counsel for a parking garage. Or own Italian football teams. I got nothing. The Washington Post published an article pointing out that Jack Smith and his team of prosecutors a new batch of subpoenas seeks to compare public claims of voter fraud after the 2020 election versus private texts and emails. Smith's office has sent subpoenas in recent weeks to Trump advisors and former campaign aides, Republican operatives, and other consultants involved in the 2020 presidential campaign. They've also heard testimony from some of these figures in front of a Washington grand jury already. Eight people with knowledge of the investigation, eight, spoke on condition of anonymity. The special prosecutor is looking at money raised during the period between November 3rd, 2020 and the end of his term in office on January 20th, 2021. Uh-oh, they're looking at wire fraud laws. These subpoenas have not been previously reported. They're looking for specific types of communications because the Jack Smith wants to know what was being publicly bruited about versus what the minions were saying amongst themselves. And the Post points out that this is kind of in line with the theory of the case that resulted in the conviction of Stephen K. Bannon for fraudulent fundraising to build the wall
along the southern border.
You'll recall that Nitwit Nero pardoned the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells before he went to trial. And it appears that Jack Smith is moving at a feverish pace as these sorts of things go. And I think Nitwit Nero knows it, because now he's gone to federal court in Manhattan telling the judge,
you've got to give me a 4-week delay in the beginning of the trial from that horrible, horrible woman, believe me. E. Jean Carroll.
Because, see, that's supposed to start toward the end of this month. Her defamation case against him.
I need at least 4 more weeks, because there's no way I can get a fair jury after what that racist prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, has done to me, Donald J. Trump.
It's getting kind of hot. Around these folks. Oh, and yeah, Theo says, subject, Tony Alamo, you say? Oh, yeah, that guy. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Theo.
The mention of his name brought back distasteful memories from Southern California, where he and a passel of suckers set up a religious commune on a canyon back road using a nasty-looking former Frog Legs diner as their base. Can't make this shit up. He soon had a hustle business going, marketing heavily bedazzled denim jackets to the rich and gullible of Beverly Hills and Hollyweird. It was a sweatshop operation hidden behind religious incorporation. Clearly, he's now a shining example to Republicans of all denominations. Two also dead. Thanks, Theo. I absolutely love your storehouse of knowledge and wisdom. Steve in New York says, lawyer touched my penis. Seems to be a pretty good lawyer from a quick and dirty bit of research. I wonder if he's as good as the best of the... Manhattan DA's office. Things are getting a bit nasty. Good. For Fox, for News Corp and Fox and Rapey. Oh, and by the way, the villain in Ted Lasso's name, to the extent there is one, is Rapey. Rupert. I'm sure that's strictly an accident. Or at least a really high quality coinky dinky. But the judge in the Dominion case has said that he is sanctioning Fox for trying to hide damaging information among other things about Rupert Murdoch's involvement in all the bullshit surrounding the 2020 election. over at the New York Times, Jeremy Peters has been following the defamation case. And on MSNBC, they had a bit of a discussion about the whole affair. Things are not looking good for Rupi.
Yeah, Rupert Murdoch, in his depositions, was very forthcoming, saying, yeah, we should have done it differently. Yeah, we didn't tell the truth. So it's good to put him on the stand. He's still the boss man. To me, the biggest question is, why hasn't Fox News settled? Because every day there's more damaging stuff coming out. I mean, how many times do you have to step on a rake before it starts to hurt? But I think the reason they haven't settled is because they know if they did settle, they'd have to go on the air every 30 minutes and say, we were wrong, the election was not stolen, go on with your day. And they're so worried about losing their audience to Newsmax that they'd rather go down with this sinking ship than to make those admissions.
I think we misappropriated you as the former state attorney. We know you are the current state attorney for Palm Beach County. We are sorry.
I live in Florida, so former could happen any day.
We'll get to that. I want to ask you if you can address that question just from a strategic level, Jeremy Peters. Why hasn't this continues to get worse and worse? And I wonder, just to Molly's point and Dave's point, if that wasn't another inflection point where they considered settlement.
So I've been hearing for some time that Fox is already focused on a possible appeal. You know, inside the network, that's where executives are looking because they realize that it's going to be a tough case for them to win in Delaware. They also, that's exactly right, this point about having to apologize. Dominion wants not only a lot of money from Fox, but they want an apology. They want an acknowledgement from Fox that it was wrong to report what it did about voter fraud and its machines. They're not going to get that absent some major, major change in thinking inside Fox that I'm just unaware of. I'm not even aware of any kinds of discussions taking place around that. So this case, I think, is going to be with us for a while. And it's just the lack of a settlement so far is just one more way. This is so extraordinary. You just don't see cases like this go to trial, and you don't see cases like this where there are reams of damning evidence that point to actual malice in the way that there is in this case. So this one is one for the books.
Let me read a statement that's just come out from Fox News about today's developments in court. This is from the Fox PR department. Quote, as counsel explained to the court, Fox produced the supplemental information from Ms. Grossberg when we first learned it. And a reminder on the statement, which is also relevant, quote, Rupert Murdoch has been listed as executive chairman of Fox News in our SEC filings for several years, and this filing was referenced by Dominion's own attorney during his deposition. This sounds like a little bit of covering your you-know-what, Rinal. Are we to assume that this is just in the absence of anything else? This is what they're putting out there?
Well, presumably a piece of this is what a special master would look into if the judge ultimately appoints one. If there's a dispute over whether information was withheld or whether information was simply unavailable, that's something that a special master would certainly get to the bottom of. On the question of the revelation that Fox only recently made about Rupert Murdoch's more central role as an officer of Fox News, there's a little bit of a complicated storyline here. One of the explanations that was given in court today was that Murdoch himself and the lawyers themselves weren't fully clear on that, that they themselves had not been aware that he held that role. But a separate explanation that seems to have been made is that it was clear to everyone, including Dominion, that it was listed in the SEC filings. And so those are the sorts of tensions and facts that the judge or a special master appointed by the judge will probably need to get to the bottom of.
Well, and it sounds like the judge, for his part, Jeremy, isn't buying it at all.
Nicole, one thing we've seen over and over over again throughout the course of the run up to this trial is the judge has grown increasingly exasperated with Fox's explanations, with its conduct in court, with its numerous objections. And, you know, he's put them on notice. He did this in yesterday's hearing. He did it again today in a much firmer and more explicit way, saying, look, I may order a special master investigation into this, and I'm holding open the possibility that you could be subject to further sanctions. As I said, you don't want a judge mad at you like this if you're a defendant in a $1.6 billion defamation trial a few days ahead of opening argument. And it's become clear that Fox, you know, just watching the conduct of the lawyers in the courtroom, you know, from both sides, they're, you know, they're very respectful, very deferential to the judge, and they're very careful not to, you know, step into any traps or do anything that might irritate him. But Fox's counsel, I think much more so than Dominion's, at least to my observation, can tell they are on thin ice. I can see it in the body language when they interact with the judge. I can hear it in the tone of their voice and in, you know, the apologetic way that they often carry themselves when speaking to him. So, you know, they know that this could get even worse for them.
An unbelievable twist ahead of jury selection and an expected trial start on Monday. Jeremy Peters, Rennell Anderson, thank you very much. Dave and Molly, stick around for the hour. We'll return to this story at the top of the next hour. But
and it's time for us to say what we always say with stories like this. Gee, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. I guess it's already cost Rupi his latest marriage. But they're right. What the panel said was right. It's every day is something new, something more awful. And it's not all just one lawsuit. Oh, no. No. It's so much more than that. There's also the lawsuit by Abby Grossberg, who used to be a producer for testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson and was fired by Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And in the course of her lawsuit, she now says that Fox has tapes that they have hidden away of Rudy Giuliani, drag queen name Rudy Garland. Ha! I've been looking at those images and giggling all day. They got tapes of Rudy Giuliani saying, there's no proof the 2020 presidential election was stolen. Over at the Daily Beast, Justin Barragona reported, Grossberg, who is suing the conservative network for harassment and a toxic work environment, claims that the behind-the-scenes conversations with Giuliani, former Trump lawyer Squidney Powell, and Trump campaign officials featured them admitting that they had no evidence to support their Dominion election fraud lies. Additionally, she says an advisor of former President Donald Trump pointed out the importance of January 6th, weeks before the Capitol attacks, noting that the advisor said there were no issues with voting machines and January 6th was now the backstop for determining the election. Once a senior booking producer for pro-Trump Fox News host Maria Bartiromo before moving to testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson's show, Abby Grossberg filed two lawsuits against Fox News last month, alleging that the network sought to make her and Bartiromo scapegoats in the bombshell lawsuit, all while deflecting blame for Fox executives. And this is another wrinkle, because the trial judge in the Dominion case gave a little bit of a win to Fox in telling in ordering that there could be no mention in the Dominion trial of January 6th. Because January 6th is not the same as lying about that, but it, I wonder if this might occasion the judge in the Dominion case to revisit the ruling, given the fact that Abby Grossberg is now alleging that, in fact, January 6th and the election fraud lies are inexorably intertwined. And some lawyers, of course, in Grossberg's suit may find themselves in a bad way, because at the very beating heart of Abby Grossberg's allegations is the fact that she says Fox lawyers encouraged her, tried to advise her to give false information and mislead investigators in the Dominion deposition. That could get real ugly real quick. But then these cases always have a, you know, there's more than just the most basic allegations. The other thing we find out, no surprise given the fact that testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson seems every bit the Nazi, is that the Carlson program was just ugly and filthy with misogyny and anti-Semitism. I'm assuming that Abby Grossberg is Jewish by heritage, if not by practice. I don't know. I can't imagine being an observant Jew and working at Fox, but then again, I don't know. I don't know. But among other things that Abby Grossberg cites is a conversation among Fox employees on Carlson's show as to whether they would rather fuck Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer or fuck the Republican nominee for governor in 2022, Tudor Dixon. And of course, they openly told various and sundry Jew jokes. Because of course they did. How nasty. Meanwhile, Fox has stopped claiming that Abby Grossberg was violating attorney-client privilege. Wonder why. I can't help hoping that between this and between Dominion and Smartmatic and Abby Grossberg, that the whole thing just winds up being the destruction of Fox. It's going to be hard to destroy that kind of that kind of money. Is that obnoxious Saudi prince? Is that gross dude still the majority minority shareholder? Wonder if Rupee and Lachlan ever worry about maybe getting hacked to death and having their bodies cut all to pieces, if they should get sideways with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Bonesaw. I don't know. Oh, well, thank you, Stephen New York says. The Saudi prince has since divested. Even he saw the handwriting on the wall. Manny, Manny, Kekalu Farson. Prayer meeting Wednesday, remember? Oh, and good news. Justin Pearson is now back in the Tennessee legislature. Tennessee House. After the racist attack of right-wing, Republicans on them for having the unmitigated gall to call out Whitey for not doing shit about gun violence. The seven county commissioners of Shelby County, Tennessee, the county that... Memphis, unanimously voted to send Justin Pearson back to fill his own seat from which he was expelled. I wonder if the maggots in the in the Tennessee House realized that they would be wind up being outmaneuvered this quickly and this simply. Justin Pearson being returned today. Justin Jones was returned on Monday. In Shelby County, Commissioner Erica Sugarman said, "My heart is singing. You belong on the national level," she said of Justin Pearson. "We need you here right now in this moment to continue the fight in Nashville. It's not going to end today or tomorrow. It's a journey." Justin Pearson, for his part, who knows how to fire up a crowd, said, "We do not speak alone. We speak together. We fight together. So a message for all the people in Nashville who decided to expel us: you can't expel hope. You can't expel our voice. You sure can't expel our fight. And I hope they go back and make the racist sons of bitches absolutely miserable." And talk about just wrong-footed. Cameron Sexton, the horrible, disgusting, repulsive, revolting Speaker of the Tennessee House, said that Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, and this is on, you know, this is days after the slaughter at Covenant, the Presbyterian Academy or school or whatever, that left three children dead and three adults killed by a lawful gun owner. And Sexton, in the days immediately after the horrifying slaughter, said that Justin Pearson, Justin Jones, and their Democratic colleague, the white woman who avoided expulsion by one vote, Cameron Sexton went on social media and said, "What they did was an effort to make themselves the victims," when in fact they were using the voices to speak up for the victims of the gun violence that Cameron Sexton and the rest of the maggots in the Tennessee legislature are just fine with. Oh, they'll say it's a tragedy. They'll send up tots and pears. But in the end of the day, they won't do anything. They won't move to take those godforsaken weapons off the street, even though it would be perfectly legal for Tennessee so to do, or any other state. But Justin Pearson was not the least bit repentant or I'm sorry, Justin Jones, once he had reclaimed his seat, Sexton called on him and he said, "Today, 78,000 people have a voice in this chamber once again. No expulsion, no attempt to silence us will stop us." And Cameron Sexton found himself having to hammer on his hammer and gavel with his gavel hammer to try to get his supporters to come to order. I hope Cameron Sexton gives birth to a bouncing baby ulcer. Sorry, that's mean, but then again, Cameron Sexton is a piece of shit. Really and for truly. This is going to be memorable as one of the worst legislative sessions in the history of Tennistan, and that's saying something. And I hope, Cameron Sexton, that it doesn't hurt too little. And these maggots really are, whether it's gun violence or any other matter of eliminationism, the mask is off and they really don't care who dies, who they hurt. In the ongoing debate over drag queens in Florida, well, now we know a little bit more about another vulgar, vicious maggot. State representing Randy Fine. He's a big supporter of what is called SB 1438, the Protection of Children Act. They want to ban anyone under 18 years of old age from attending a drag show. And he said the quiet part out loud. I mean, among other things, no one under 18 could go and see Rocky Horror Picture Show. No one under 18 under the Florida law could see the musical Hair. No one under 18 could see a production of Shakespeare done the way it was done in the Elizabethan era, to wit, with men playing in the roles of the women, because women were not allowed on stage. Then there's Representative Angela Nixon, a Democrat in Florida, who said, thanks to the law that the Republicans passed, she can't take her kid to a place called Hamburger Mary's Restaurant, because Hamburger Mary's has entertainment that includes a Dining with the Divas drag show. Angela Nixon said, "This is a disgusting bill, and it is designed to target parents like me." That didn't even slow Randy Fine down.
And they're the ones that are saying this definition applies to them. Well, if it means erasing a community because you have to target children, then damn right we ought to do it. I just don't think you have to inherently say because you're lesbian or gay that you want to target children. I find that statement to be offensive to them.
Wait, Randy Fine is offended on behalf of the gay and lesbian community? Does he know who makes up about 99% of drag performers? And like I said, he said the quiet part out loud and implied the other part out loud. Drag is code in their sick eliminationist minds for trans. For people who don't dress or go to the potty according to their sex assigned at birth. Oh, don't worry. Eventually, Randy Fine will be caught with a man in his mouth. But consider that line. If that means erasing a community because they have to target children, then damn right we ought to do it. Well, the LGBTQ community is not targeting children. He's mistaking the LGBTQ community for Roman Catholic priests and Baptist youth ministers and Boy Scout leaders and teachers and such. At least the representing Barnaby apologized for calling us mutants and demons. God Almighty. But Randy Fine wasn't done. Oh, hell no, he wasn't done. There was, of course, more. So much more. Too much more. Remember that attacking drag shows is a... that's how the Proud Boys and the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters executive staff... That's their jam.
All this bill does. And so I would leave you with this question. The question is not, why do I want to run this bill? The question is not, why does the majority, I believe, on this committee going to support this bill? That is not the question. The question is, why are there people in this world so determined to push this on children? Because if you weren't doing that, this bill wouldn't exist.
Oh! Wait. Okay, it's the fault of the people being targeted for being targeted? People who have committed no crime? I got that right?
You vote for this bill, you're not standing up with the Proud Boys, something I find personally offensive, given how they feel about me. You're standing up with people who believe this stuff should be kept away from children. And with that, I ask for your favorable support.
What does he mean, people like me? Is he saying that elimination against the LGBTQ community is okay, but he takes umbrage at it as a Jew? See, I don't think he's doing it right. That's supposed to engender compassion and an understanding that never again means never again for anybody. Oops. Randy Fine's wife performs in burlesque and sexually charged fundraiser for children alongside the Rainbow Circus. Oops. Wendy Fine is apparently okay with doing burlesque in front of children and even posed with a bunch of other burlesque performers from the Rainbow Circus. In April 2021, Wendy Fine participated in a fundraiser for children with autism in Brevard County, Florida. From photos and videos of the event, Fine, scantily dressed in burlesque lingerie, performed sexually charged and provocative dance routines on stage alongside members of the LGBTQ plus community for the audience in exchange for money for children. And there were apparently children present in the audience. And we're not talking about Wendy Fine reading a story about everybody being nice to each other. This was more of a bump and grind affair. It's always the case, isn't it? Of course it is. Of course it is. Yeah, Matt in San Francisco says it's the drag queens and trans folks' fault. Sort of like, I wouldn't have to hit you if you wouldn't provoke me. Why do you keep hitting my fist with your face? Sounds about right. I mean, that's just... Well, typical abuser behavior. Steve in New York adds a couple of things. Randy Fine, as a gay man, and I suspect I can speak for you, my trans sister, on this one, we don't really need his feigned offense. No. If you want to be an ally, be an ally. One gets the idea that if Randy Fine is Jewish, as I suspect, back in the camps, he probably would have been a capo. One of the good ones. If I cooperate, they won't put me in the oven. Wait, where are you taking me? Oops. As far as pushing this on children, what exactly are we pushing on children? By the way, I'm not being facetious. That's a real question. Well, under the panic, Steve, I guess the community is spreading a social contagion that's going to want to make little kids grow up and do the same thing that, the governor of Tennessee did, that is, dress up like a girl on tacky day in high school, or maybe do a chorus line dance cross-dressed on senior skit day like Southern boys do all across the South. Because it's a contagion, and being a contagion means it can be caught. What I'm trying to figure out is how, having grown up around cisgender people all my life, how did I catch the trans? Was it in the water? Was it in the air? I swear to God, I never ate a single bite of tofu until I was probably in my late 20s. So it can't be the phytoestrogens in the tofu. The bottom line is, all their language is jingoism for a very specific purpose. Making a fast buck off the hate that lives deep buried in the souls of the rubes. Because you can always make a good dollar out of capitalizing on the hate that lives in the hearts of ignorant people. Yeah, movies to ban. Steven New York says, Some Like It Hot, Ed Wood, Tootsie, Mrs. Doubtfire, The World According to Garp, Shakespeare in Love, The Birdcage, Twelfth Night, Madame Butterfly, Yentl, Victor Victoria, Nuns on the Run, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, uh,
I'm sure there's more. Did we have Tootsie in? Yeah, there's Tootsie. There's Tootsie. Silence of the Lambs. Can you hear us? Can you still hear the lambs, Clarice? No, Emilio, I never owned a Trans Am. I have used an automobile for transportation, however. And I confess, I have in the past been a fan of the X-Men. I want to be Mystique. Stephen New York says, ban straight people. They're always the ones making up all of the... making all of these LGBTQ plus people. I was on Twitter today and I saw my sis, Miss Terry, had posted a picture of herself at about 11 and was talking about how she was, that's about the time she began dealing with her recognition of being trans. And I responded to her and I said, it would be 3 more years before I would meet you. But it still blows my mind that we became friends and we're dealing with it in our, each in our own rights, the same thorn at the same time in our sides. And now we're dealing with the same different thorns in the modern era. The original thorn was, what the fuck is wrong with me? The thorn now is, why do these goddamn Republicans want to kill me? And I remember, oh Lord, I remember The World According to Garp, because that was one of those books where I both watched the movie and read the book, and it's one of the few movies where I thought the film was better than the book, just because I read the book all the way to the end, and I kept saying, is anything ever going to happen in this book? I was a bit more shallow then than I am now. But my God, in the film, when John Lithgow came on playing Roberta Muldoon, the former tight end, of course, for the New York Football Giants, who had transitioned from Robert to become Roberta, big and tall, and living her truth. I mean, that film was actually kind of a high watermark of sorts, because all the other trans representations in film about then were, to one degree or another, entirely negative. Going way back to things like Psycho. But Roberta Muldoon was portrayed brilliantly by John Lithgow as just a human being trying to live her life as best she could. And I remember seeing that movie. I was in college, what, maybe 19, 20 years old. 19, probably. And sitting there in the theater with my girlfriend and saying, holy shit. Not out loud, oh hell no, but holy shit, that's me. Because it was. And I think that was the first little glimmer that maybe someday I could be myself. And it only took 40 more years. Okay, 37. She's not alone, Jeremy says. Mine manifested between 11 and 13. I don't exactly remember. I do remember my mom finding out and trying to stop it.
The shame still burns, even though now I know she was doing what she thought was best, given what was known. I can forgive anyone, I just don't forget. Yeah, the forgetting's hard. Damnably hard. That's pretty, you know, a lot of us had inklings like, you know, 4 or 5 years old, but no vocabulary. Just knowing that there's a stone in your shoe. And it just makes things feel off. But yeah, your body starts changing. And then you realize how wrong it is. Sorry, TMI. Apologize. Clarence says, don't forget Mrs. Doubtfire. What a wonderful movie. Yeah, that's on there. I love it when Harvey Fierstein is trying out all the different looks with Robin Williams. And at one point turns the chair around and it's Barbara singing Don't Rain on My Parade or whatever it is. And I forget who Robin Williams asks Harvey Fierstein to make him look like. He says, no, I don't think I've got the strength for that. Thank you so much, Clarence. Clarence just met Ralph's challenge. Thank you so much. So we are now down to $1,100 in fundraising. There is so much to get caught up on. It's not getting caught up. There's so much every month stuff to do right now. And then extra stuff, like bearings and brakes and tires. I hate hearing the whirring of those bearings. Time for new ones. So if we could get on down a little further below $1,100, if we could maybe $200, and we'd only have Wednesday, Tuesday, and today to deal with. We're trying to $200 more, and we'd be done with last Friday. I guess that's what I'm saying. On program note, I will be filling in for Mike Malloy tomorrow. Tara and I will be getting together for a little conversation. And I love my conversations with Tara Devlin of Tara Buster. So I'm really looking forward to that. I hope you'll join in. 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Progressive Voices on TuneIn. And by the way, since we're a little past halfway in the program, please like and subscribe, y'all. Leave a comment, whatever platform you listen to the podcast on. On TuneIn, press that little heart button, and eventually we'll get 1,000 individual listeners, and that'd be wonderful. Oh, Ralph's added to the challenge. So we're up past 4 kittens. Apparently we're at 5 now. And Steve in New York says, I just realized something. The villain in Ace Ventura Pet Detective was a trans woman who was the kicker who missed the winning field goal in the Super Bowl. Laces out! Yeah. And Ace Ventura Pet Detective is really troublesome. Problematic. Because it also replicates the scene from The Crying Game in which people vomit when they find out that a woman is trans. And in fact, in Ace Ventura Pet Detective, the theme song to The Crying Game, Boy George singing I Know All About The Crying Game, is actually played in the background while everyone is puking because they found out that Roger Pedactor, that's the character's name, isn't it? Yeah. Is a pre-op trans woman. And they make the reveal by tearing her clothing off of her. and making her turn around and show her tuck. Hollywood has been very, very instrumental in the stigmatization of trans people. And only now is finally beginning to make up for a little bit, for it a little bit. And, you know, that's part of why the dainty, snowflakey, white dude bro guys are having such a conniption over Bud Light. They done tooken away my awful beer. $10.30 challenge from Steve in New York. Hopefully someone will meet that. The last Nuremberg prosecutor, Ben Ferentz, died this week. He was 103 years old. I'd like to offer a $10.30 challenge in his name. Thank you, Steve. Back in the day when we had the will to stomp out fascism whenever and wherever, we saw it. Jimmy in the Great Northwest banned comedians. Flip Wilson's out. Red Skelton just off the top of my head. Milton Berle. Yeah, Geraldine, Flip Wilson. And Geraldine was hilarious, and Flip Wilson did his Geraldine bit without being overtly hateful. And that was kind of unusual for the day. It's $30 because Orinda should deliver her fifth kitten soon. That's wonderful, Ralphs. And Jeremy says, don't forget, also add to the list of straight men who target children, little boys, the dirty llama, even though it was claimed to be a one-off. I don't buy it. Yeah, I touched on, well, that's a bad way to put it. I discussed the dirty llama in yesterday's program. You're right. Link to folks in drag, drag kings and drag queens, Steve in New York sends along. Some Like It Hot, Ed Wood, All About My Mother, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, The Skin I Live In, The Rocky Horror Picture Show, Tootsie, Mrs. Doubtfire, The World According to Garp, Farewell My Concubine, Victor Victoria, The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Boys Don't Cry. Dear God, that's a hard movie to watch. It's heartbreaking. The Crying Game, Shakespeare in Love, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask, that shows Woody Allen in bed with a sheep wearing a garter belt and stockings. I'm in love with a sheep. Oh, dear God. The Birdcage, Paris is Burning. Paris is Burning is an amazing documentary. Performance, Orlando. La Cage aux Folles, upon which The Birdcage was based. Tangerine. Transamerica. Funeral Parade of Roses. Breakfast on Pluto. Tomboy. Just One of the Guys. To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, which still stands out to me because I watched it the first time pre-transition. It was like, ha 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 ha. And I cried through it the second time because I realized that Vita Boehm, Patrick Swayze's character, was not a drag queen. She lived full time. She was a trans woman, but you couldn't actually say that, I guess. And, you know, same for Wesley Snipes, Noxzema Jones. If there was a boy in a dress, it was John Leguizamo. Kinky Boots, In a Year with 13 Moons. Twelfth Night, yep, there's our Shakespeare. M. Butterfly, Yentl, Flawless, Victor Victoria, Lawrence Anyways, She's the Man, oh dear God. Stage Beauty, 42, Switch, A Fantastic Woman, Tipping the Velvet, Revolutionary Girl, Utina, Charlie's Aunt, Nuns on the Run, Albert, and this list is forever. I guess these will all be banned in Tennessee, Florida. Yeah. Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Oh, and what's the movie where Asia Argento transes her, the character she played transes her little boy? That's, of course, Asia Argento is gross. Randy Radar asks, a friend of mine worked at a convenience store and noticed how much people depended on their cigarettes and alcohol, so why would you be surprised that they're also addicted to sex? Well, sex is not a chemical. I don't know enough about the endocrinology and biology of so-called sex addiction to know if it really is an addiction as such. Steve adds, more banned TV shows. Archie Bunker's out. Oh, shit, Benny Hill's out. Hey, so's Monty Python. The Penguin on the TV set sketch? No, sorry. Life of Brian? Well, the Republicans will be glad to ban that anyway because it makes fun of Jeebus. When it makes very clear at the beginning of the film that Mandy, mother of Brian, is giving birth one stable down from Jesus. It's exhausting. It's just exhausting. So let's run over now and check in on the Skype line. I think Scott's there. I hope the audio is working and everything. Hey, Scott.
Well, I'm as here as I'm going to be, I guess. Over. Roger, hello.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, okay, because I usually, well, you didn't say what or huh or where are you, so I guess it's okay.
No, I mean, you start talking, I stop interrupting.
Oh, I see. Oh, anyway, I've just been under the weather, that's all.
Are you getting above the weather?
I'm trying my damnedest to get it handled. I had to go out this morning to drop off some paperwork having to do with housing, because I had,
did you find that confounded form?
Oh, I never did, Robin. I had to go yesterday down to Social Security and get a copy of it. And I said, make two copies, because I'm sure somebody else is going to want this, and I still will not have found the original. But that's handled. As far as I know, when I dropped it off this morning, everything was in order, and I hope I do not hear anything to the contrary, because I hate paperwork, and I hate waiting. I guess I'm not as evolved as I thought I was. Let me delve into the short subjects area of cinema, classic cinema from the 30s, for a drag performance of sorts. And I forget the name of the episode, but it's during the Civil War times, and Mo, Larry, and Curly are Union soldiers, and the general or colonel or whatever on the Confederate side is the character actor Vernon Dent, the heavyweight, heavyset guy, who I think had a mustache also. He was in, like, 60 of the, at least, of the Stooges' short subjects for Columbia. And he was the Confederate colonel. And they had Curly done up in her Southern Belle finery to
seduce. Oh, yes.
You remember?
Yes.
I cannot remember the name of the episode, but I'm sure it's out there. But I just... And then I saw that when I was a child, Robin. It didn't warp me. Well, I say warp. That's a rather flexible term in today's world. I guess in my own special sweet way, I was warped or made into a free thinker or something. But, I mean, no scars, no bruises. No runs, no hits, no errors. But anyway, when you were talking about the very large list of films having to do with, touching upon drag, I had to bring that one up. Although it is technically from the Short Subject Library at Columbia. And God bless Harry Cohn. They said he was a son of a bitch, the head of Columbia. But he gave the Stooges a chance. And the Harry Cohn funeral story?
No, I don't think so. Okay. Right now I'm looking up the picture of Curly in drag.
There you go. There you go. I want to see you done up that way. Come on, give us a...
No. No, I don't do drag.
Oh, well, anyway. Harry Cohn was not a well-liked movie executive for Columbia Pictures back in the day. However, he was responsible for green-lighting such movies as From Here to Eternity, so you know he knew something about quality work. I can't think of the others that he greenlit. But anyway, he died. And when you're a detestable, a horrible human being...
S.O.B.
S.O.B. and you die, people are going to turn out, Robin. I mean, come on.
I just want to make sure.
I can't wait for Trump to reach his actuarial limit. There's nothing, that's not a threat or anything. Because I will dance. I may risk arrest by literally, once the hubbub has died down, pissing on his grave. Just because, I think people need something to live for. But anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, when Harry Cohn died, the head of Columbia Pictures back in the day, the turnout was massive. And I believe it was Red Skelton who uttered the famous line, well, it just goes to show you, give the people what they want and they'll turn out in droves. I just... So anyway.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't that great? But who was it I was listening to the other day on YouTube? I think it was Kim Novak, the actress, who worked for Columbia for a time. And she understood that Harry was mercurial, but she said, my dealings with him were never, upsetting or negative or anything. So, God, Harry Cohn, there's a name from the past. But that's me,
Yeah, you remind me of something that gave me a great giggle.
Yeah.
Our pal Joy in Ann Arbor a couple of weeks back. Joy has a beautiful sense of humor. And you mentioning Kim Novak made me think of Tippi Hedren. And apparently Joy went to a Halloween party one time dressed as Tippi Hedren from The Birds. It was perfect.
Oh, I'm sure.
She had these, birds around her head on wires.
Oh, my God.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, Tippi did not have the best experience in that movie, from what I've heard and read.
No.
Wasn't there a movie about that, The Girl? And I think it was Toby, someone, was the actor who portrayed... There were two Hitchcock movies released at the same time about 10 years ago. And one of them, I think, was called The Girl. And it had to do with the casting of... who was the lady in Psycho? Janet Leigh?
Yes.
And then Tippi Hedren was the one in The Birds.
Right.
One of the movies had to do with one of those actresses, and the other had to do with the other, I think, because I've only seen one of the films. As a matter of fact, I'll make a note. I need to watch that. Find the one I haven't seen and watch it. But God damn, what a movie The Birds was. Martin Balsam. No, that was Psycho. Wait a minute. I was thinking of that scene with Martin Balsam in Psycho on the fucking staircase. Jesus. Look at the time.
The minute I heard you say Jesus, I knew what was coming next.
But anyway, making a long story short, getting back to my situation here, I have just been kind of under the weather, and I think a lot of it has had to do with stress, with this housing situation and dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. And I shouldn't let it get to me, but sometimes I do. But hopefully, knock on wood, everything is handled for another 2 or 3 years, however long.
Glory, hallelujah.
So anyway, I mean, based on my dropping off, because they never get to the part about, and here's the last form that's required. There was somebody who used to do a bit, Columbo. It's the Columbo syndrome. Oh, one more thing, you know? Jesus, would you look at the time? Anyway, how are you? Enough about me. How are you getting on?
I'm okay. I think it's definitely pollen season. There have already been two or three mic mutings here for sneezing purposes. I got a little tickle in the back of my throat and a little bit raw. And
I'm one of those fortunate people who is not, as far as I know, not allergic to anything or sensitive in that way. And I have seen people suffering.
I never dealt with it when I was younger. It only became a thing when I moved here, and more particularly when we moved here about 24 years ago.
Have you ever tried using local honey? They say
no. I have a theory about this, because every time I get down close to a mountaintop removal operation, I'm sick for 2 days when I get back home.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think it's from breathing the filth that's in the air here.
It would have to be. Well, it's like I forget whether, you know, the size relationship, but the particulates in that sort of output, industrial output, has got to be just as bad or worse than. Ever been at an airport in modern times when they're all in a plexiglass room smoking? Okay? Now, can you imagine trying to breathe? And I tried it before, back when I was a smoker. It's like, it's one thing to do it to yourself as a smoker. It's another thing to have your industry and your government people allowing industry to wreak havoc on the air and the water and God knows what else. And the people, you know, well, we need them coal jobs, them old energy jobs. Well, yeah, maybe you do. But then again, maybe you need to learn a new trick, Rover. Spot, Ajax, Tippy. I had a dog named Tippy once.
Sit, and Liberty, sit.
Yeah, oh, and Liberty, God knows. But anyway, no, I'm sorry you're having allergy issues. I didn't land on that number. But for every number I miss, there are other, you know, equally bad or worse numbers. So it all.
Well, you know, maybe I wouldn't have them if I lived somewhere like, oh, I don't know, Wisconsin, all that fresh dairy air.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you talking about butts? I don't mean cigarette butts, but I mean, you said fresh dairy air.
Well, they raise cattle in Wisconsin for, milk and cheese and butter and stuff.
And what?
I've always heard the fresh dairy air of Wisconsin was good for the Constitution.
What can a cow give buttermilk? Your move. Anyway, I'm rambling, and I shouldn't do it. I haven't gotten much sleep for I don't know how long. I should tug on my sleeve and tell me to calm down and stop being upset. Because you know how I get. Sometimes I get into this fucking automated mode, and I'll just go on forever. And the sound of radios being clicked off is like deafening. We don't need that. So.
Ralph says ragweed.
Ragweed, that's like pollen stuff?
Well, ragweed pollen drives a lot of people just absolutely up a tree.
Yeah, and this would be about the time of year when that stuff. What is it that falls off of the leafy trees?
That's pollen too.
Yeah, but if how does that work exactly? Is it from pods on certain trees or blossoms?
Yeah, blossoms. Because they all flower one way or another, whether you notice them or not.
Well, anyway, I've never had the medical issue, but some people swear by local honey.
Well, yeah, they do. Yeah, and I like it. Every now and then I can find some around here, like at the farmer's market or something. Oh, and by the way, Jimmy in the Great Northwest adds to our list of banned movies. Someone may have already said it. Tony Curtis, Goodbye Charlie. Don't know if I'm familiar with that one.
I know the title, but I don't. It doesn't.
Every time I hear Tony Curtis, I just, in my mind, hear Yonder is the Castle of My Father.
Well,
I can't help it.
He and Janet Leigh co-starred in a movie from the 50s. Which used to run every so often on NBC in the 60s on Saturday Night the Movies, a really poorly sourced, almost fictitious biopic of Harry Houdini and his lovely assistant Bess, his wife.
I remember watching it as a kid.
Oh God, and that's not how Houdini. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the next voice you hear
will be the President of the United States.
No, this is even better. This is Easter morning. This is Harry Von Zell on the CBS Full Columbia Network, Easter Sunday service from the Vatican. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the clock hands are moving to the top of the hour, and it's time for that moment for which we have all waited. The next voice you will hear will be that of His Holiness, the Pontiff, Pope Pius Pius.
See, I thought you were going to go for Hubert Heaver.
Oh, yeah, well, I think that was also one of his.
Yeah, I think that was Harry Von Zell, too.
You check out on YouTube, remember Tom Snyder, the Tomorrow Show on NBC?
Yes.
He's got all of the announcers. He's got Don Wilson, who was Jack Benny's announcer. Harry Von Zell, who was the Burns and Allen announcer, the announcer for the radio version of The Lone Ranger, whose name I forget, and George Fenneman, who was Groucho's announcer. Next time you have about 45 minutes to kill, watch that, and you will get a wealth of information about the way it used to be done in the broadcast biz. And I loved Fenneman. Oh, God, I loved Fenneman. Were you working with Groucho? Had the patience of a saint. Say that's your good way.
Win a prize.
In the duckle club. That's a common thing you find around the house every day. Is it no good, shiftless bum? No, sir. It's leave your husband out of this. Anyway, some of you, I'm free associating again, and I know it.
I love it when you do. I just kind of sit back and wait for what's coming.
and it's all.
And I know I'm going to be laughing till I cry sooner or later.
Well, you get that monkey there with the visor and the arm girder.
Get Don on the phone.
Is it Don? Where are the pictures?
Where are those pictures I was supposed to see?
It is your little dog Snuggles. Aye, aye, aye.
You know, we are rapidly approaching that point of the old joke about the folks on the porch at the retirement community. 32.
Oh, yeah.
And the new guy says, "Let me try one." 64. Crickets.
Yeah.
You told it wrong.
Yeah.
Hey.
Jeez. Well, maybe this is just what I needed, because I'm feeling better. It's something about...
It's prayer meeting Wednesday. I've laid on the healing hands of faith. What do you want?
Oh, I felt something. I wasn't sure what the hell that was.
Say baby.
Anyway, Baby.
Baby.
My little babies. You know, if Ernest Angley is going to pray for a miracle, he needs to address with the Almighty that thing on his head. It makes Rand Paul's look...
No, like, I mean, whenever you talk about Ernest Angley, the first thing that comes to mind is, say, baby.
Hey, baby.
But the second thing that comes to mind is the secret tapes of Ernest Angley.
Oh, no, I didn't know there were.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are they weird? I mean, how could you tell? But I
mean, you answered your own question. There are tapes of Ernest Angley talking about a sexual liaison he had with a guy in his congregation.
Holy moly.
It wasn't a sin. I didn't make him come.
Oh, I think I do remember that.
Yes, of course.
My God. He was in, like, Akron.
Yeah.
One of these off-the-path places. Sorry, Akron, I didn't mean to dismiss you so nonchalantly. But Akron is not a... Well, it might be a principal city. I don't know. Now I'm going to get the whole fucking state of Ohio angry at me. Do I need this? Hell no. I think... Now, I always confuse him with... Remember Rex Humbard?
Yes.
He was also based...
Well, in fact, I think one took over the church from the other.
Or, as they say in the biz, assumed the payments.
Yeah, he died back in May of 2021, Ernest did.
Oh, Ernest is gone. I didn't know that he departed.
It was on another machine, but... Brother Deacon Asa actually clipped out that little soundbite of him from that surreptitious tape. It was not a sin. I did not make him come.
Wait a minute. I thought... Now, I don't know the niceties of the particulars of this sort of area of law, moral or otherwise.
Yeah, I don't think it's law.
Who... Is the evil part, if you're responsible for causing someone else to have an evil moment, and by evil moment, God knows, there's nothing more natural than a climax, an orgasm, whatever. Thinking back, it's been a while, but thinking back, I recall them as being somewhat pleasant. But so where's the onus? Not Onan, but Onus. In terms of...
There it is!
Stay with me. I'm trying to figure this out. Upon whom is the onus? Is it the person leading someone into temptation and then evil doing? Or is it the person engaging in the evil doing? Because we're free moral agents, aren't we?
Theoretically?
See, this is one of those times when I wish...
I have the clip here.
Oh, baby.
It is a conversation. The tape was 23 years old when the Akron Beacon Journal published it.
Oh, dear.
Back in 2019.
So it would have been the late 90s when old Ernest broke bad on us.
Yeah. And it goes on and on.
Oh, play it, by God.
A guy whose name is Reverend Bill Davis. You'll hear his voice on the tape talking to Angley about Angley's peccadillos. Peccadillos? I don't know. Shut up, Robin.
Was he on some, like, AOG board, like... because that they run you...
An adjunct to Angley?
So he was like a confessor, he served to hear Ernest's mutterings about his failings. And
remember, Ernest brayed on and on about the sin of homosexuality. And
yes,
it's all here.
Well, go for it. Hit that button.
I'm a-trying.
The point is getting to the point fast. The point is hearing the nation on your morning commute. The point, journalism that gets right.
I didn't say you were naked. Well, I didn't say I wasn't. We were just laying there naked together, and I didn't make him come.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Say
baby. Now, the person with whom Ernest was supposedly engaging in just laying there talking.
Yeah, the unnamed person.
Okay, but do we know? Well, we don't know that if he or she was unnamed. He, I guess. I don't know. My God, why did I even bring this up?
Well, I have said on so many occasions, evil is a preservative. Angeli is dead, but he died at 99.
Oh, my God. I had no idea he was that old.
Yeah.
And he, like so many others, like the one down in Louisiana, who was Jerry Lee Lewis's cousin or something.
Jimmy Swaggart. I have sinned against you.
They never go away for long. They somehow, and who was that one that was?
Well, Jim Baker's still out there hustling bucket pudding, I presume.
The guy with the curly hair, where they would go to the mail facility in the office, take out the checks and shit can the prayer requests and the important part that the gullible people were writing in about. What was his name? I cannot think of his name. Robert Tilton. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about, yeah. And he was married to the woman who made Tammy Faye look demure.
Oh, no. See, I didn't know that.
Wasn't he?
I have no conscious memory of the lovely Mrs. Tilton, assuming she is.
Well, they all kind of run together after a while.
Well.
Let's see. Yeah, there's, Maybe it wasn't Tilton. This guy took over a what had been an amusement park called Twitty City in Tennessee.
Twitty City.
But yeah, I think Robert Tilton was gross and pervy.
Which one of the ones was it that went after Jim Baker back when that all was?
Oh, it was Jerry Falwell.
Well, no, he was. Is there a John Ankenberg or Ankerberg or something like that?
Yeah, that sounds right.
How do I remember these things? By the way, I'm going to mute the phone because I've got to. I heard the guy leave my groceries and I need to bring them in. But you talk to me as if I'm.
Yeah,
still
okay. No, I'm thinking of Trinity Broadcasting. And that was headed up by
Paul Crouch.
Yeah, Paul and Jan Crouch.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me mute again.
Okay. And Jan Crouch was the one who made Tammy Faye look demure. Get a photo up here. How do we wind up on topics like this? Maybe just, it's just, wow. I'm guessing it's going to be illegal for Jan. Is she alive? No, she's dead. So fortunately, they can't pursue drag queen criminal charges against her in Tenistan. That could have been a problem. Good Lord. I will never feel bad about my appearance again. Yeah, she was 78 when she passed away, Jan Crouch. It's curious that Matt and Lori Crouch, her kids, in a statement when Jan Crouch died, said, and lo and behold, there I was saying she looked like a drag queen. No drag queen, no self-respecting drag queen would ever do what Jan Crouch did. But Matt and Lori Crouch, upon her passing back in 2016, said, Lori and I have just watched the transition of our precious mother. Well, now. Scott, why do you do this to me?
Now, some translations talk about transition, and some talk about translation.
I got nothing.
To do. Really? Okay, well, all right. Oh, God. I didn't need that. You ever order something thinking that you don't have it, and you open the fridge, put new stuff in, and it's
son of a gun. Of it?
I hate when that happens. I'm going to go ahead and talk to you. I hope I'm not going to be making too much noise here.
Okay.
But some of the, like the perishables, have to be put in the fridge. Do you have capacity to mute me on your end?
I mean, I can, but you're not causing a problem yet.
Okay, well, just you wait. God damn, I should have cleaned out the refrigerator or something. I've got more crap in here.
And this being prayer meeting Wednesday, I got a story in the stack about, the headline is, amid attacks on trans people, a queer yeshiva offers a path to liberation.
Yeshiva?
Yeah, it's...
It's like a... What do you tell me?
An enclave, a gathering...
like a religious community of sorts.
Yeah, of Jewish people.
Yeah.
And it's about a guy named Noah Reuben Blose. B-L-O-S-E.
Oh, yeah. Come again? Heavenly.
Leave Ernest Angley out of this.
Heavenly days, McGee.
But Reuben is a trans man. Noah is a trans man. And he went to Queer Talmud Camp a few years back.
Oh, my God.
And said it felt like coming home.
After
to be in a room with 8,100 queer Jews studying and singing was really meaningful. And it's kind of an adult religion camp. And lo and behold, it's attracting trans and queer people, non-binary students, and to its courses. It now has a $2 million a year budget and a year-round staff of 12.
Good. Where is this again?
It doesn't make it abundantly clear, but it also refers to the yeshiva was founded by lesbian Rabbi B'nai Lapp. Lappe. And I mean, it's good to. I mean, It's got to be better than the toxic version, one hopes.
I believe I'm familiar with it. Is that a lady rabbi?
Yes.
I believe I've heard of her.
She's a lesbian.
Somewhere. Yeah. Silly rabbi.
And the whole thing is based on the Talmud. And talks about how in Talmudic tradition, basically you rationalize your way into through loopholes. And now there's apparently something called the Trans Halakha Project.
What?
The Trans Halakha Project. And they're using the a methodology called Svara, moral intuition, to sort out all the old proscriptions around genital mutilation, menstruation, having to take a bath. I was thinking of Toni Tenniel in her voiceover role in Pink Floyd's The Wall when Pink's in his suite, and it's actually Toni Tenniel's voice that says, "Oh my God, are all these your guitars? You want to take a bath?"
What is with some of the religions with all these jots and tittles? I mean, they get litigious and just so detail oriented.
Well, in the case of all the ritual bathing and everything, it's in relationship to menstruation, because women are deemed to be essentially unclean because there were all these obsessions with blood.
So it's not enough to be an inferior being, supposedly.
Yeah, you're also dirty and filthy and disgusting.
Well, fuck that shit. To move on from that, people. Come on, get over it. You know, if you're getting your marching orders from, you know, bushes that are burning but not being consumed, then you need to see your doctor. You know, get on the couch.
This is a it's a fascinating article, though. And it came from Religion News Service.
What is the name of the technique or the group?
It is the Queer Talmud Camp.
But the project, do you use some name of the technology?
Oh, Svara. It's not a technology. It's an intellectual approach, apparently. Svara.
And it's basically about the reconciling of a lot of ignorant rules and regulations which are oppressive and designed to hurt more than to lift up.
Right. Is that they give a brief history of the Talmud as being something that Judaism developed in the wake of the final destruction, the last destruction of the temple by the Romans in AD 70, and the fact that Judaism had to figure out a way to continue without its previous
incessant guilt tripping. I'd go for
without its previous reliance on temple sacrifice.
Okay. Yeah, because then you got the sheep lobby up in arms and the goat lobby or whatever.
don't forget the pigeons and the doves.
Oh, God, yeah, because that was what got Jesus pissed off at the temple as a kid, or an adult, I think, by then, turning over the tables of the money changers, because they were there to make change in the various coinages and currencies for the purchase of these sacrifice animals. Am I pretty much onto that? Or
yeah, that was. It was literally, Jesus got mad at the money changers.
Yeah.
People would bring in their Roman currency or whatever currency, and they would have to exchange it at a fraudulent rate for acceptable currency to use to purchase the sacrificial animals.
So I've got two Zeuses, and you've got a Caesar. which one of us is better off.
Well, you're going to have to exchange them all for shekels, and you're not. And well, I mean, it's like when you do the currency exchange in a foreign country with your dollars. They want more dollars for less of their currency, depending on where you are doing the exchange.
Yeah, because not all currencies are the, what do they call it? Maybe it is benchmark. Where the at one time the pound sterling was the major one, and then the dollar became preeminent. That everything else is pegged to.
Yeah.
And wasn't there a big controversy recently where they wanted to change it from the dollar to like petroleum or something? Or am I mixing my metaphors here? I can't remember.
No, I think you're pretty solid.
Jeez, how do I even know half of this?
Oh, I know. Sometimes it's just exhausting.
I wish there was some way where everything I've ever learned, even stuff that I don't actually remember at this point, but every experience, every bit of knowledge I've ever gained, and there's probably been science fiction written along these lines, where all of that stuff can be archived, you know, and maybe this is what the afterlife is like. If life has been too short for you and there just hasn't been time to pursue the questions about, well, when I was 8 years old and the guy around the corner did thus and so or failed to do such and such, and that affected me so badly, how does that fit in the overall scheme of things? Maybe that's what the afterlife or overlife is like, where you get to, it's like a big, it wouldn't be video cassette library. It'd be like, not even DVDs. It would be a fucking in the cloud.
Are you familiar? I think it was a Robin Williams film, Defending Your Life.
Oh, Albert Brooks. Yeah. God, maybe that's where I'm thinking of this from. Either that or a Jack Chick tract. He was big on the big projection screen behind the Lord, and you had to stand there like a schmuck and watch a film of your life. You know who I mean when I'm talking about Jack Chick.
Yeah, oh yes. Chick Publications.
Oh, dear God. You know, the show is going to have to offer for, you know, a small fee, a glossary of all these the people that you know about and I know about and maybe three or four other people know about. But the rest of the listeners are saying, what the hell are these two talking about? You know, I don't know. Who can possibly know these things? Well, so what about that Trump, Robin? What's going to happen to him?
I was actually looking for a story that I saw earlier today because it's just one of those moments. Now that the Republicans are getting their way, and they've reduced women to second-class citizens, beginning with the Dobbs decision, of course, Dobbs versus Jackson, women's health. All of a sudden, they don't really want to talk about their favorite topic anymore. You know, abortion.
Oh, yeah.
This comes after, you know, last week, when that creepy ass maggot Judge Kaczmarek in Texas decided to overturn years and years and years of FDA precedent and administrative law by ordering that the mifepristone, also known, I believe, as RU486. Selling it nationwide, this little dick
dictator in Texas said that he had the power to stop it all over the country because he's pro-life.
We'll see, won't we?
But a judge in Washington later that day said no, and he enjoined the government from paying attention to the judge in Texas.
So now you've got your dueling magistrates.
And now that they've gotten what they want, Republicans are trying desperately to pretend that they didn't do what they damned well did.
Yeah.
The classic case in point, just in the last day or so, I've got to find this here. Just give me a sec.
That's all right. I wish you could hear my tummy. It's making noises like an old floor model Atwater tent from the 1920s during a thunderstorm.
You hungry?
No, I just I'm just having lower rumblings.
Borborygmi. I remember George Carlin saying that the name of that, the official term for that is borborygmi.
Say it again.
Borborygmi.
Borborygmi and the news. I like that. I may have a tattoo. That may be my first tattoo. Borborygmi. Where's this judge based? He's like a...
Oh, I want to say Lubbock or Amarillo or something like that.
Oh, God. It's a Trump appointee, right?
I believe so. Yes.
Now, in...
I wanted to get to...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Representing Tony Gonzalez, who is a fetus fetishist from Texas... And he mansplained to Dana Bash over at CNN about how we don't need to talk about abortion no more. Because he saw what happened to the red wave in 2022 as a result of Dobbs and all the other misogynistic horseshit that the Republicans got down with. So again, Tony Gonzalez is talking to Dana Bash and says, well, here he is.
You know, on this ruling, I have six children. I'm a prolific pro-lifer, and I think it's important that we protect the sanctity.
His poor wife.
Of life. I believe in state rights. Here in Texas, you know, we have a heartbeat bill that was passed, and I think it's important that states dictate their futures.
Remember, states' rights. Pay attention. That'll matter in a minute.
And we have to have the courts uphold these. I mean, it's very dangerous when you have the administration, the Biden administration, coming out and saying they may not uphold a ruling as an appropriator on the House Republican side. I look at it, the House Republicans have the power of the purse. And if the administration wants to not live up to this ruling, then we're going to have a problem. And it may come a point where House Republicans on the appropriation side have to defund FDA programs that don't make sense.
You said that you want this to be states' rights, but isn't a federal judge saying that on a national level that a pill cannot be administered the opposite of states' rights?
Well, the states started this. The states had their ruling, and now the federal government is coming in and dictating theirs. I think it's important that we have to get back and allow our institutions to lead. We can't undermine them when we don't agree with things that are there, whether it's on the state level. Look, I'm from Texas. We don't have marijuana here. Marijuana's in California and other places. If those are the kind of things that your community wants, then work it through your state, work it through the federal level. But we have to uphold our institutions. It's dangerous when we erode them.
It only gets worse because Tony Gonzalez, well, she knows what women want. We see you, Tony. You're valid.
I want to move on, but I just want to point one important thing out, which is that mifepristone isn't just used for abortion. It's also frequently prescribed for women experiencing a miscarriage. And by
otherwise known as spontaneous abortion, and if the word miscarriage went away and was never used again, I would be just damn tickled.
Oh, yeah.
because it implies that the pregnant person has done something wrong, carried it wrong, miscarried.
Well, I'll listen for the siren near the end of the piece, because you know sooner or later the loony detector van is going to be pulling up outside of CNN. Is that where it was?
Well, he's standing. I don't know if he's in. Well, I think he's in Texas at this point.
Well, they have loony detector vans in Texas. They're not used a lot. They're selling fast food out of the back of them. But go ahead. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So it is important to note that mifepristone is used for women who have endured a spontaneous abortion. Something like 50% of all human pregnancies end in spontaneous abortion.
Isn't it true that it's had a track record of 20 years with relatively few?
Yes, it's absolutely
bad
true.
Reports, plus the length of time that it took to develop and research and get it approved.
I mean, so really, to be quite, this is the Republican disdain for all the things they used to say that they believe in.
And the guy that grew up to be a judge somewhere in Texas making these cockamamie rules, what, did he want to be a doctor and failed out of, the closed cover before striking school of medicine and interior design? Or
no, he wanted to be a Martinet dictator, and that's why he joined the Federalist Society.
Oh, God, these fuckers. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The point I was making, these attacks on medication... you will never hear a Republican complaining about hard-on pills.
Oh, no.
And saying that they are necessary to, that they are unnecessary or perhaps ungodly along those lines. But, and again, I think this is an important point to make. I will use this state's attorney general, who has most recently announced his candidacy for governor of the state of West Virginia. That's that dude from New Jersey named Pill Pushing Patty Morrissey, who was at one point in time a lobbyist for the company that dumped millions upon millions of hydrocodone pills all over West Virginia.
Yeah,
enough to addict every West Virginian in the state.
Well, that was kind of what the lobbyists had in mind.
Yeah, well, it was. You know, thank you, Sackler family. But that's a carryover from last night. Hi, Matt. Like I said, I hope you're feeling better. But Pill Push and Patty Morrissey became Attorney General of West Virginia and immediately went to work hammering tongs trying to reduce West Virginia women to second-class citizens. He attacked a woman who... I'm struggling to remember the particulars. It was a while back, but I think he attacked a woman. He attacked the doctor who treated the woman who maybe had a spontaneous abortion and went to Charleston General, CAMC General Hospital. It was awful. And, of course, he's on board with attacking a woman's right to access life-saving medication in the form of mifepristone. And, of course, he's also part of the attack on the ability of trans kids to get puberty blockers. At first blush, it may seem like there's no connection there, but there is. Because in both of these cases, mifepristone is a medication used solely by women. Puberty blockers are used by both cis kids with precocious puberty and trans kids who are trying not to commit suicide. These things literally vastly reduce the risk of suicide in trans kids. And some trans kids are trans girls. So if we understand both of these drugs as being attacks on women, girls, then it becomes a whole lot clearer. Do you get my point, or am I just at sea?
No. You're. I got it. I mean they've done it for years. It gets them up out of bed every morning.
Right, but the salient point is now they don't want to talk about it no more. We've got our way, and we really wish all the women's would stop being all mad at us because we reduced you to second-class citizens.
Well, guess again, GOP, because you buttered your bread, now sleep in it.
Yeah, own it.
As the old saying goes.
Yeah, own it.
You know,
take that albatross and drape it right the hell around your neck.
When did Roe v. Wade become decided? 73,
yes.
72?
Yes.
Okay. So it lasted for as long as it lasted. They finally, the dog finally caught up with the fucking car that it was chasing, and now it doesn't know what to do.
Yes.
But they do know what to do because...
But they're happy about it.
They're dreaming up new ways to infringe upon people's liberty. Liberty? What did you stop talking to me about liberty, you asshole? Your liberty is the furthest thing or farthest thing from your mind. You're a control freak. You're a mini-me. You're God's little mini-me in your own mind there, which there's plenty of room for those thoughts to bounce around in.
I want us all to hear... Good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican, Tony Gonzalez, explain to the little women out there to stop being so hysterical about being second-class citizens.
Some estimates, as many as 1 million women miscarry every single year. So are they just on their own if this ruling is upheld?
No, I think it's important that we take care of women, and it's important that we have real discussions on women's health care and get off the abortion, get off the, you know, the abortion conversation. Women have a whole lot more other issues than just abortion. Let's have
politely, Tony Gonzalez, shut the fuck up.
Did he say take care of women?
Yes.
Now, does he mean take care of women in the sense that George Raft meant it when he was telling Humphrey Bogart to go wipe out the other bad guy?
Yeah, take care of them.
Take care, rub them out.
Yeah, let's have real conversations about anything other than abortion. Did you catch that part? Because this whole talking about abortion thing is going to be the end of us. Quit it. Yeah. Stop saying that.
Abortion. Get off the, you know, the abortion conversation. Women have a whole lot more other issues than just abortion. And let's have those real conversations. And let's talk about, you know, let's talk about the other things that are happening in this world. You know, I've got a picture of Amelia and Maria. They recently passed away 3 weeks ago due to a smuggler in my district. What does that mean? That means there's all these other things.
What, was he smuggling abortion pills? Let's talk about the southern border, not abortion.
Happening in the world, especially in my district. I've got a district that's turned upside down due to this border crisis. There's...
Oh, you schmuck.
Everyday people that are impacted on this crisis, to include the Tambungas.
Well, both things can be true. Everyday people can be affected by all of these issues facing Americans. Speaking of that,
I'd like to have had a little bit better pushback. Both things can be true. Is she from the Leslie Stahl School of Journalism?
I'm
surprised she didn't go like Leslie Stahl did at Marge.
Yeah. Not your highlight of television journalism, to be sure. And most people, when the question is put to them, believe that a woman's right to choose is between she and her physician, and it's a medically based decision, and it's not a theological thing, some people bring that element to it as part of their conscience and how they're approaching what to do next. But when it comes right down to it, it's a medical issue, and it needs to stay within that realm. It's not even it's not even a legal thing. I mean, yeah, I'm glad that Roe v. Wade became the law and was the law for a long time. But they're out to undo anything that allows people to have some control and agency in their own fucking future. That's the thing that gets me. If you asshats don't want to, you know, do birth control or abortion or, you know, drink liquor by the drink, don't do it. But leave us the fuck out of it. It's kind of where I'm coming from. And I don't think I'm putting too fine a point on it. I mean, it's the American way when it comes right down to it, in my mind.
And I think you're in line with most Americans, Republicans and Democrats. A majority of people want the right to choose to exist.
And nobody was railing about reproductive rights at the start of this adventure in the Supreme Court. What was it, a year ago? This summer? I mean, other than them, your average everyday people who were trying to get along in life, it wasn't like a front of mind consideration for them. And they dream up these schemes, and they, like you've said before, they fundraise on this shit, and they run their candidates who are trying to outdo one another to be the biggest asshole on the platform. And it does nobody any good who wants good to be done.
Yeah,
it's a fucking scam.
Well, I want to move on to one other thing, just by way of, and it's a West Virginia story. But this comes 2 weeks after, or in the second week after the slaughter in Nashville, days after the slaughter in Louisville. Well, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice has signed something that was called SB 10 into law. And so it is now legal for college students in West Virginia to carry shooting irons on college campuses in West Virginia starting on July the 1st, 2024. And the governing boards of the universities can't do a damn thing about it. That's part of it, too.
Because these are state schools.
Yeah. Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice said, I'm proud to sign the Campus Self-Defense Act, which will strengthen Second Amendment protections in West Virginia. I've always said I'll do everything I can to protect West Virginia's Second Amendment rights, and with this law, West Virginia will continue to be a national leader. You know what we're a national leader in here, Scott? Fucking poverty.
Bad schools.
Hunger.
Stupid politicians.
Yeah. Bigotry. And remember, long before attacking trans kids was even a gleam in Pillpush and Patty Morrissey's eyes, one study showed that in the first campaign of Barack Obama to be president of the United States, more people per capita searched for Barack Obama and that word for in West Virginia than in any other state of the Union. Okay, that's what we lead in.
Well, I need you to clarify something.
We lead in undereducation. But it gets better or worse.
Has campus violence gone out of control, which necessitated, what did you say, SB 10?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have heard about this. And I don't even live there. You live there, and you would have
No, it isn't. But here's the thing. It is so performative. This is all about making the NRA happy. And Texas and Utah do this, so West Virginia should too. But there are exceptions in the bill. See if you can figure out why these exceptions might exist. You can't carry, a student cannot carry a gun on campus into an organized event taking place at a stadium or arena with a capacity of more than 1,000 spectators. So you can't take one to, oh, I don't know, the WVU Coliseum where we play hoops, and you can't take one to Mountaineer Field where we play football. Those are out. You can't take a gun to a daycare facility located on the property because we don't want some pissed off student going and shooting up a bunch of babies.
Since when?
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Point taken. You can't carry a Freedom Protector in an on-campus room or rooms in which a student or employee disciplinary proceeding is being held. I'm guessing they're probably not going to pay attention. You know how they say we can't make laws about guns because every law about guns has someone who will break that law? That.
Yeah.
In specifically designated areas in which patient care or mental health counseling is being provided. In on-campus residence halls, except common areas such as lounges, dining areas, and study areas. Meanwhile, this thing is called the Campus Self-Defense Act. And Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim said, we had some reasonable exemptions for safety in there. That's the bottom line. We just want to be safe. We want our kids attending our universities and our colleges to have a great experience. God forbid, we don't want any terrible incident whatsoever in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We sure don't want no oops, blam, praise, or the gun just went off. Of course, that's going to happen. You're just going to have that sometime. I think it is surely a deterrent to roll into a campus where there's folks that could be walking around with a concealed weapon and have their permit and have been trained and know how to use that weapon versus going into soft targets where nobody has a weapon. The problem is there is no training requirement. There's no requirement that one know how to use the weapon.
And then, of course,
he got an amen, brother, from some creep named Art Tom, the state director of legislative affairs for the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action. And he was with Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice at the blessed event.
I just, maybe you can help me, I don't know, in the waning moments. I can't get my head around what caused this to come into being. I mean, I could see it.
The NRA wanted it.
But the way, that doesn't count, really, when it comes down to it. Because the purpose of the, a law of this type is to, it's a law without purpose or reason, first of all. And if the state school campuses in West Virginia were like Beirut in the 80s, yeah, I could see your point that it should be at least discussed. But what are the statistics on a crime on the campuses, on the state schools there? Because, again, we would have all heard about it.
The biggest crimes that are committed, at least in Morgantown, are probably couch burnings.
Couch burnings.
Yeah, we win a football game and
Couches
go up in flames.
Okay, I thought somebody dozed off smoking in the entertainment lobby area.
Yeah, no, I mean, you said, you know, what was the urgency? And I said the NRA wanted it, and that is the reason, okay?
Yeah,
And this creep Tom from the NRA said,
The Campus Self-Defense Act recognizes the fact that danger doesn't disappear just because you stepped onto campus grounds. The NRA thanks Governor Justice, the most pro-gun governor of West Virginia has seen in a very long time, for signing this here bill, and Senator Rupi Phillips for his sponsorship, as well as the tens of thousands of NRA members and supporters throughout West Virginia who pushed to make this here law a reality.
Well, I can agree with him that danger doesn't just appear. That some Republican politician in West Virginia and these other places has got to back the truck up and engage the dumper part of the dump truck and dump a heap of danger where it otherwise wasn't by virtue of these types of new rules. Oh, come on, kids, you know, they'll probably come up with book bags and backpacks designed
that are bulletproof. They already have.
Well, no, easy access to your books if you're studying and you're shooting iron if you're shooting. I don't suppose there's been anything like a hue and cry from the population, or are they just...
No, actually, every university president in the state of West Virginia hotly opposed this stupid bill.
Oh, never mind them. They're just the fucking administrators who are responsible for people being upright and above ground and in class when they're supposed to be. Never mind them, Robin. Come on. Get serious.
Jesus. It's just, oh God, this is so exhaustingly stupid. I need to bring on, I guess it's Scary Jerry who's on the stress line. I just got a note from Scary Jerry.
Oh.
Is that you, Scary Jerry?
Ladies, gentlemen, you. Yeah, can you hear me?
Now, you're right. You're right there.
How's the headset?
Well, you haven't broken up too badly yet.
You know what? There's something to be said for stereo. I think I'm going to moniker a new name today, and I'm going to use heavy bits of metaphor. I think my new name is Jerry Muddle, in the tradition of Fred Buddle or Harry Tuttle. Take a boy, and I think Rona, and me packing an AR-15. On the train, in the red state, making sure a woman still has the right to choose. There's good money in it. What do you think, congregation?
Well, as far as the gun thing is concerned, our buddy Suman writes in and says, when I was a student at Arizona State University a while ago, the biggest crime I encountered was that some jackass stole my bike. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have shot up that guy even if I found him. This is a weird law. Pretty soon we're going to have shootings in colleges for stealing a skateboard. Probably not wrong, Suman.
You know, in 1980, the DEA put methylene, goth, methamphetamine, MDMA, in emergency schedule. We're going to slow things down here and figure out what's going on. Ecstasy, the love drug. I thought it was incredibly ironic that the drug that causes feelings of love was still illegal. Still illegal. I mean, it's one of the few things that can fix some. So they're kind of like, the infection can have it. But bullets and ghost parts, bump stocks, larger bores, ammunition as far as the eye can see, that's fun. In the Constitution.
It's in the Constitution.
The actual right to life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. That's not in the Constitution.
Pursuit of happiness is the Declaration of Independence, and it's not, it's not even law.
Yeah. That's shit. You know, you put live long and prosper right there, it finishes the sentence. When I was a much younger man, thought I was going to be an obstetrician. The advent of, that's a good word, Seventh-day Adventurer, was good at with the advent of DEA, telehealth for ADHD sufferers, wild guys, half-assed politicians thinking they're clinicians, doctors, or physician's assistants. I'm going, no, we know better, because I read something on the internet, some bullshit fucking forum, so I'm going to undo 25 years of settled bullshit. Actually, 35 years. Fucking France has been doing it since, what, 88? The point is, we ran to make ecstasy illegal, and my sky diet says I have to go sell abortion pills so women in the country have a chance. Kind of a underground railroad thing. And I'm going to do it for money, but I'm not going to be an Elon about it. I'm going to make sure a woman has emergency health care if something weird happens. I do have a bit of medical training. Kid, I did a medical mission in Honduras when I was 13. And I was pre-med when I was 17. And I've actually worked for a real-life pharmaceutical company.
Down your way, I was just informed that Manatee County, Florida, has approved a policy to allow county employees to pack heat at work. That's going to be great.
The whole thing's fucked. I sent me with an AR-15 because I don't want to get a guy without a gun and spoiler. That just sounds uncomfortable. And that's me as a bleeding heart liberal saying that. And how I say this is Florida after all. You know, put that to the Chinatown thing. More, you know, don't worry, it's Chinatown. Well, it's just Florida. And shit is crazy here on purpose. You know, I wonder how far the fantasy is going to take this fucking Disney thing.
Well, he's in a position now where, again, it's like what Scott was referring to earlier. The dog chased the car, the dog finally caught the car, and now the dog has got to figure out what to do with the car.
That's worse than that. The car he caught was a mafia car, and now everybody's getting out the car. No loose there.
But I don't think, I mean, I think he will take it. I don't think he's going to give up because there's no one to make, there's no one in Florida, Jerry, to make him give up.
Yeah, but yeah, the meme factory has been open now. I've noticed it on Reddit. So maybe Disney's behind that. They said in the Matrix, you have no idea how far this rabbit hole goes. I mean, Disney, the best in the world at rat fucking. Don't fuck with that. So it's real life in the phone shit.
Yeah, don't screw with the mouse. But let me just suggest something here. I gotta wonder how much of Disney's wealth is direct wealth from Disney World. When you consider the money they make off of all the properties that they own, all the movie studios, you know, Disney, Pixar, Marvel. I wonder if Disney World is that big a chunk of their holdings. And so what would happen? Now I'm just thinking here, but what would happen if Disney were to just say, okay, Ron, you win, we're shutting everything down. Everybody's laid off. We're not selling the property to anybody. We're not going to let anybody else have it. you win. And everybody that we're about to lay off is going to know you won. They're going to know that this is your doing. We were just happily going along, being the happiest place on earth, and you had to muddle in and mess around. So, bye, Felicia. I'm sorry, you're breaking up, Jerry.
Hold on, let me fix that. Hold on. Is better?
Yes.
It's the circus in Bread and Circus.
Sure, and people could continue to go to Florida for that gross, awful Harry Potter park or
No, what would happen is that would fuck with media. If Disney is the teeth that everyone sucks on, and all the actors, all the production houses, he would have Hollywood literally after him, not just Disney. I made a joke to a random guy, random older black man, buying his lotto tickets, and I just went into a riff about leave the mouse alone, and he died laughing, because...
Leave Mickey alone!
A random crackhead with no pants, smoking bath salts, knows leave the mouse alone. Leave the alligators alone, leave the mouse alone. Those are the things they teach you when you come here. That's a hurricane sign. Over here means you're too close to the water. But I'm 5 miles away from the water. You're too close to the water. We have signs like that, and that's the thing. It's reality, too, but that's another point. Let's move on to abortion pills, ADHD pills, sexual transition hormones, and what else? Am I forgetting anything, Robin? What else are they coming for?
I don't know. I think hard-on pills really need to be on that list. If God intended old men to get stiffies, well, they would.
There's a scene in the wonderful show Boardwalk Empire where one of the women's suffrage activists is talking to Nucky Thompson and going, if you give us voting, we'll give you back alcohol. They're you know, fucking around with the Constitution basically and moving rights back and forth. So I was thinking if women wanted to get grimy, they would take steroids out of professional sports. Nobody wants to watch that.
Well, the reason I went where I went with Disney was because of a statement that was released by Equality Florida. That's the leading LGBTQ rights organization in Florida. They admitted that the step they were taking was unprecedented, but they have issued an extensive, wide-ranging travel advisory for anyone thinking of traveling to or moving to and living in Florida. Their statement said, "Today, Equality Florida took the extraordinary step of issuing a travel advisory warning of the risks posed to the health, safety, and freedom of those considering short or long-term travel or relocation to the state. The move comes in response to a wave of..." Hold on, I'm reading here. "The move comes in response to a wave of safety inquiries Equality Florida has received following the passage of laws that are hostile to the LGBTQ community, restrict access to reproductive health care, repeal gun safety laws, foment racial prejudice, and attack public education by banning books and censoring curriculum. As an organization that has spent decades working to improve Florida's reputation as a welcoming and inclusive place to live, work, and visit, it is with great sadness that we must respond to those asking if it is safe to travel to Florida or remain in the state as the laws strip away basic rights and freedoms. While losing conferences and top students who have written off Florida threatens lasting damage to our state, It is most heartbreaking to hear from parents who are selling their homes and moving because of school censorship. Book bans and health care restrictions have made their home state less safe for their children. We understand everyone must weigh the risks and decide what is best for their safety, but whether you stay away, leave, or remain, we ask that you join us in countering these relentless attacks. Help reimagine and build a Florida that is truly safe for and open to all, and where freedom is a reality, not a hollow campaign slogan. And they kept going. Governor Ron DeSantis, who has made the extremist policies the centerpiece of his presidential campaign strategy, has weaponized state agencies to silence critics and impose sanctions on large and small companies that dissent with his culture wars agenda or disagree with his attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Already, the adopted and proposed policies detailed in the travel advisory have led Florida parents to consider relocating prospective students to cross-Florida colleges and universities off their lists, events and conferences to cancel future gatherings, and the United States military to offer redeployment for service members whose families are now unsafe in the state. Businesses have spoken out against the governor's abuse of state power to punish dissent, with Disney CEO Bob Iger calling DeSantis anti-business and anti-Florida. The worsening attacks, especially those targeting transgender youth, have also led to the proposal of policies around the country to provide refuge for those fleeing states like Florida. And by the way, Washington State just became the latest refuge state for trans kids fleeing. The Florida Immigrant Coalition, New Jersey, but now Washington. Washington was in the last day or so. The Florida Immigrant Coalition, a statewide immigration rights coalition of 65 member organizations and over 100 allies, also issued a travel advisory today, urging reconsideration of travel to Florida and providing critical information about where immigrant travelers can learn more about their constitutional rights. And just weeks ago, Florida chapters of the NAACP voted unanimously to request similar warnings to the black community about the risk of traveling or relocating to the state. And then their full advisory is repeated. And I'm sure they did not do this lightly.
Robin, I guess that's for the northern part of the state. I guess things are pretty weird up there. I gotta have to ask my daughter. I'm down here in the south part of the state. I'm having a Captain Picard moment here. I'm not running. You run. Y'all feeling squirrely, y'all jump.
Well, but see,
everyone in South Florida has run from somewhere.
But the problem, Jerry, is that laws passed in Tallahassee apply to South Beach as much as they do to Dixie County.
Yeah, but you can't take.
Oh, I lost Jerry, and we're badly over time anyway. Scott, did you bail out?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, well, I just wanted, if you were, I was hoping you weren't gone, and I just wanted to say good night.
Well, good night to you, Robin, and good night to the Horn family.
And so, let's see, we will be, trying to think, we will be at $1,400 tomorrow. Remember, everybody, I'll be filling in, along with Tara Devlin, for Mike Malloy tomorrow. Hope you'll be around for that, too. Scott, I hope I lifted your spirits a little bit.
Well, I was just going to tell you that the therapeutic impact of sitting here and laughing and seriously conversating and just, interacting with you and the rest of the Horn family has done me a world of good. So my hat's off to you. I'll get my hat and then I'll take it off. But thank you.
Oh, you're so very welcome. You provide a lot of merity and merriment and levity. Damn it.
Yes. Wait, now you can't buy these teeth. You've got to go in and have them fitted. You can't buy them through the mail. I keep telling you, you know.
And, you mean the ones I keep getting in the little gumball machine up at the Wiggling Pig?
Yes, avoid those because if you've got to wind them up, what good is that? I mean, come on.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Right? Well, I'm so glad that I'm you know, you've helped my stress level. There's something about getting your nose out of your own navel and focusing and discussing the world at large and the problems therein and the people and the madness and the fun stuff too, that takes you out of your own little stew pot, you know? And this has been quite, I mean this, has been quite therapeutic for me. The person who called at the start of the phone segment has left. I don't know where he went, but I hope he doesn't come back anytime soon. I could go run around, well, I won't run around the block. I could skip around the block and feel better for it. So thank you. My hat's off to you.
You are more than welcome, and let's end on a happy note. I am so proud of Representative Justin Jones of Nashville because yes. He was no sooner back in that legislative body than he gave an interview to CNN. And speaking of the Tennessee Speaker of the House, Cameron Sexton, he said, he is an enemy of democracy, and he doesn't deserve to be in that office.
A lot of them on that side of the aisle don't.
And he and a number of others are now full-on calling for Sexton to step down because of the disgusting racist that he is.
Well, and I'll let you go after this because I know we're over time. When I'm evaluating a candidate for any level, you know, city, state, county, federal, whatever, I always listen to what they say and what their track record is when it comes to quality of life versus control over someone else's life. And if the tick marks on the Ben Franklin balance sheet are more on the pro side, the plus side, than the negative side, I usually support that candidate. And what you've got apparently running Kentucky and Tennessee and Florida, at least on the state level, and a lot of federal jobs too, are these fuckers who don't give a shit about your quality of life. They're not paid for that. That's not what they were hired to do. They're there to fuck you over to a fare-thee-well, and somehow a certain percentage of the people to get them to reelect them every 2, 4, or 6 years. And therein lies the madness, which is why I'm glad we were able to have this little chat, Robin.
Well, I'm just darn glad we could too.
And again, don't buy them through the mail. And if they come with a key and you've got to wind them up to make them chatter, don't avoid them because they're those fucking Chinese imported jobs that come over in the container of vessels, and you're just getting ripped off. That's all. Buy USA. Get your American-made chattering teeth, and you'll thank me in the morning.
God bless America, Mark Forrest.
Indeed. The government Walmart? Nope, not no more. Okay, take care.
All right,
Robin.
See you, Scott.
Take care, Horn family. Be well.
Bye. Yeah, I got a little extra broadcasting in to kind of make up for what wasn't here on Monday. Yeah. So that's the program. Suman, thank you. Disney Parks revenue is $28.7 billion out of whatever the overall revenue of Disney's business is. Suman says, I assume about 3/4 of that is from Florida. But I guess and then what portion of that is all of Disney's? But they'll never do that. The shareholders would riot. But it would be nice to see somebody make Ron Monkey Up Duplantis shit in his cute white boots. Because somewhere along the way, somebody's got to bring this bring him to heel. So that's the program. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so kindly to our a la carte contributors. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger. And thank you, Brother Bishop Steve in Georgistan. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, like and subscribe. Leave a comment. Like the tune-in player, please. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your boosters while they're still free. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your mask when you're around the maggots, because they're a diseased lot. Use your hand sanitizer. Don't drink it. Don't be like the deacons. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And for God's sakes, if some twangin' Texan representative comes towards you down the sidewalk talking about how, let me tell you what women need to be talking about, well, avoid that maggot like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.